Blog Talk Radio.
As real as it seems, the American dream ain't nothing but another calculated scheme to get us locked up, shot up and back and chained, to deny us of the future, rob our names, kept my history a mystery, but now I see the American dream wasn't meant for me, cause Lady Liberty's a hypocrite, she lied to me, while it's for freedom, education, equality, never gave me nothing but slavery, and now look at how dangerous it made me, calling me a madman, cause I'm strong and bold, with this gun full of knowledge of the lies you told, promise me emancipation, and this new nation, all you ever gave my people with starvation, fathers of the country never cared for me, they kept my ancestors shackled up in slavery, and Uncle Sam never did a damn thing for me, that lie about the facts in my history, so now I'm sitting here mad cause I'm unemployed, but the government's glad cause they enjoy when my people are down, so they can screw us around, time to change the government now, Panther power, Panther power.
Immunity. I strike America like a case of heart disease. Panther power is running through my arteries. Try to stop me, oh boy, you'll be clawed to death. Cause I'll be fighting for my freedom with my dying breath. Do you remember? That's what I'm asking you. You think you're living free? Don't make me laugh at you. Open your eyes, realize you've been locked in chains. Said you wasn't civilized and stole your name. Cause the time has passed, seems to all forget. There is no liberty for you and me, we ain't free yet. Panther power. Panther power. Panther power. Panther power. As real as it seems, the American dream ain't nothing but another calculated scheme to get us locked up, shot up and back and chained, to deny us of the future, rob our names, kept my history a mystery, but now I see the American dream wasn't meant for me, cause Lady Liberty's a hypocrite, she lied to me, while it's for freedom, education, equality, never gave me nothing but slavery, and now look at how dangerous it made me, calling me a madman, cause I'm strong and bold, with this gun full of knowledge of the lies you told, promise me emancipation, and this new nation, all you ever gave my people was starvation, fathers of the country never cared for me, they kept my ancestors shackled up in slavery, and Uncle Sam never did a damn thing for me, step live by the facts in my history, so now I'm sitting here mad cause I'm unemployed, but the government's glad cause they enjoy when my people are down, so they can screw us around, time to change the government now, Panther power.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. This is an Indy Morrell production, Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. My co-hosts are James Acevedo, who also has the honor of hosting his own show entitled Bench Warmers here on Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio Network. I'm also here with Russell L. Benford, author of the book Lies, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness, and my other co-host, Cobra Commander. And now we're going to go on into the Dollhouse announcements.
You are tuned in to Dollhouse Radio, the hottest station on the net. We air live 7 days a week with 17 shows hosted by the sexiest hosts. Find out more about the Dollhouse Radio family by visiting our website at www.dollhouseradio.com. Find out the latest porn, entertainment, and indie music news on our Hot Sugar blog daily on the Dollhouse Radio website. We are looking to showcase the hottest in indie music this year. Interested in getting your music in rotation or having your video featured on our website? Be sure to send your music and video submissions in to dollhouseradiomusic@gmail.com. All music submissions must contain a bio or one sheet, promotional photos, and your music in MP3 format. Businesses and promoters, looking to advertise your brand or event on Dollhouse Radio? Email your inquiries to Head of Promotions at Brian, B-R-I-A-N, DollhouseRadio@gmail.com. Our Spotlight Artists of the Month are Alana Evans, Heroin, Raphael, Carla Page, Dennis Good, and Mila J. Cooking with Miss Brooks has a new name. It is now Sammy's Cocktail Hour, hosted by the sexiest chef in town, Sammy Brooks, airing live every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. You can also catch Sammy on Thursday evenings, 7 p.m. Eastern and 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Webcamming with Sammy and Sage for all you webcam lovers and ladies interested in getting into webcamming. Also coming soon, look for former porn star legend Janet Jackney to join the cast of one of our shows. And catch former porn star and the 2015 AVN Hall of Fame inductee Alana Evans as the new co-host of Benchwarmers Live, airing every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern. Coming this spring, Sexy and Biz returns with former adult film star Imani Rose, Launchpad Radio returns hosted by the legendary Ian Burke, and our new show, Truth Front to Back, premieres. Keep up with everything Dollhouse Radio by following us on Twitter at @Dollhouse_radio. And now, back to your program.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. Now I want to bring in my co-hosts to introduce themselves to the listeners for tonight's show. So, co-hosts?
Yes, good evening, everybody. This is James Acevedo. You can follow me on Twitter at YankeeMan1973. Let's get this show started. Time is limited, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get this going.
Here, this is Russell Benford checking in. Guys, leave it at that. Let's go.
And also, this is Cobra Commander. You can follow me on Twitter as well and on Hooligan Nation.
Okay, good. Welcome aboard, everybody. So I'm just curious as to what that introductory song was that we were playing, that guy rapping or that group that was rapping. Does anybody know that?
Yes, I definitely know. Does my fellow co-host know?
Not as of yet.
That was Tupac Amaru Shakur.
That was Tupac?
Yeah, that was Tupac way back in the day when he was very young, a young teenager, yes.
Wow, I didn't even recognize his voice. I guess he must have been really young.
Yes, he was like 17, 18 years old.
18 years, 17, yep.
Yes, so
okay.
Panther Power was the name of that song, yes.
Panther Power, I got to write that down, definitely, definitely. So, well, tonight I've decided that I'm not going to go into the long list of topics that we have, primarily because more so than not, we never get to all the topics anyway. But having said that, tonight I want to start off with a topic that that Cobra Commander had introduced or brought to mind. Well, Cobra, you want to talk about that topic that you will even give the title of the topic that you had mentioned?
Well, the title that I brought to the foresight tonight was basically about division between our communities, division between women and men in the community. Why is it a civil war between the black and brown culture with their women?
You're saying the black and brown culture, because I was wondering from what aspect or what point of view you wanted to come into that topic. So you're saying from, well, between the brown and black community. What do you mean exactly by that when you do say that, the brown and black community?
Well, I'm a meaning of people of African American and half Hispanic, may that be Puerto Rican, may that be Latin or Mexican. There's the division between us as individual, as all, and also a division I'm also talking about between the community itself, between women and men in their own community.
Okay, I follow what you said. So how do you want to start in on that topic? Because it does, in fact, sound interesting, and there are many, as I said before, points of view or aspects in which one can come into this issue. So where do you want to start in it at?
Let's start it in at. Hello?
Yes, we're still here.
Yeah, we're here.
Let's start it in at the aspect of let's hit home first, between women and men, the culture between us as individual. And I mean, speaking on the aspect as a black male, our women, in the aspect of black women, we're divided. There's a cultural difference. There's an attitude difference. There's a manner of respect that's lost. How can we solve it as individual men, and how can you view it or your point of view as a man, basically?
Well, somebody want to respond to that? Russell, James?
Go ahead, Russ. You first.
I think the division between men and women isn't solely just in black and brown communities. You can see the strife in white communities. If you look at the mainstream media coming off of the third wave feminism.
Okay.
There is an enmity between men and women that has taken place, and it is purposely and intentionally and socially engineered for it to be that way, because people are more reliant and more dependent and more connected to the state, and people's allegiance to the state before their people is kind of crazy. It's like a Stockholm syndrome in that people are more trusting of the state than their fellow neighbor, but then at the same time talk about how you can't trust the government.
But okay, I hear what you're saying there, Russell. But then again, I think that you have really, really exceeded or gone beyond the bounds in which Cobra first brought up, because certainly there are, stratification. I'll use the word stratification. There certainly is stratification within the, I guess we can say, white male, white woman, white man situation as well. But Cobra Commander has brought in the issue more so of, black men, black women at this point in time. But also, I do follow where you're going, but I think you've gone way outside of that because again, I'm saying that you have, in fact, gone outside of it because there are differences within each group, the black group as well as the white group, and also as well as the, let's say, the Spanish-speaking group as well. But okay, do you follow what I'm saying?
Speaking specifically with black people, though, I mean, understand that the division between black men and women goes back to slavery, and it is a part of the white supremacist power structure to keep the black family in disarray and in a fragile state. And unfortunately, you know, people have fallen into that trap and played into those hands. But
what Russell said was kind of on the aspect of what I was thinking as well. So I'm gonna ask Russell a question in that aspect. Do you think because of the feminist movement that kind of trickled over into the black community? Because remember, at one point we were united. We were a family unit.
A long time ago.
Around the 50s and 60s. And the 50s and 60s, and all of a sudden the feminist movement kind of moved and dripped over into our women. Do you think that was a major cause of that?
Yeah, very much so. People have to understand that the feminist movement, while it appears organic, it very much so was not. This was, if you study Gloria's, you know, people like Gloria Steinem and her ties with the CIA, and you had black feminists. It's the same thing. It's the same thing when people talk about the LGBT community, the gay community, and they say, and they always try to make it seem like, oh yeah, the gay struggle is like has similarities to the black struggle, and I say, well, how
the gay is the new black? That's what they say.
And it's the same thing, like with the feminist movement. You see, understand that coming off of the civil rights movement and affirmative action and things, and you know, things like that, you had women all of a sudden being classified as a minority. Lyndon Johnson passed an executive order. I don't have that. I have to look that up to say exactly what it is. Lyndon Johnson passed an executive order to classify women as a minority. And I say that to say that how can the women's struggle be like the black struggle when there is racism within the feminist movement, the women's liberation. You know what I'm saying? Black women don't even realize how they are used, and that you see black women that will you know, Hispanic women, Latino women, et cetera, that will always, you know, be utilized for these feminist agendas, but then whenever it is something that is particular to black people or black women, where are these white women allies? You don't see them. Same thing with gay is supposed to, you know, gay being the new black, whatever. But
I disagree with that, but I'm hearing what you're saying, and I have heard the phrase, but no doubt we'll disagree with that.
I'm not saying it for that reason. What are you talking about? No, I'm saying that's the mantra. You know what I'm saying? That's being touted in the media that gay is the new black. And the hypocrisy of that is, how can gay be the new black when there is racism within the gay community? So, you know,
and
segregation, just like you have, you know, say, like I live in Atlanta, which is black gay central, and you have the gay pride parade, and then you have black gay weekend, you know.
Yes.
So I say all of that to say that when people always try to talk about all of these other groups and all of these other, you know, when they, you know, even like when they talk about the Holocaust, you know what I'm saying, and they negate all of the black people that were
in the Holocaust,
exterminated as well in World War II Germany. You can't name a subgroup in which racism isn't the Trump dividing factor. So when people, you know what I'm saying, so, you know, whether you're talking about, when you're talking about economics, you know, there's a racial division there. When you talk about sex, there's a racial division there. When you talk about orientation, there's a racial division there. You know, so when people, you know, say that new black stuff or this struggle is like the black struggle, they can miss me with it. But,
well, I'm gonna tell you real, and that being 100, I kind of agree with Russell on that aspect of it, that the gay is the new black, because they really ain't struggling. Let's be 100. They got their own communities. They got their own infrastructure. They got their own policemen. We ain't got none of that.
All right.
So the thing about that, more rights, everything.
But I would say, in reference to what you and Russell, all right, what Russell has said, he's not saying that he agreed with it. He's just saying that is what is being said. But as for yourself, Colbert, you're saying that, like, you can understand that and therefore agree with that phrase. But in my thinking,
No. You got me way confused. I'm not agreeing with that phrase at all. What I'm saying is it's a contradictory to say you are the new black and you haven't suffered no oppression. You're not oppressed in any form of fashion. If anything, it's almost to now, and let's be 100, and I say it for what it is, being gay is almost fashionable to the point that you can do more business if you're gay. You can make more money if you're gay. It's literally...
Being fashionable sorry for cutting in, but let me let you finish.
not even fashionable. We don't even have to use the word fashionable, but business economically is almost embraced to a point that they are willing to give you more because of your sexuality. And let's be real, and people they want to use that. The media use that, in my mind, to minimize us even more, to make us less than even more. Like, black is not even an issue. Gays have more issues than we do.
Well,
that's
But would you agree that a reason for that may be because there are a lot of homosexuals in control of media outlets, or you wouldn't think that might be a factor?
That
definitely could be a factor, no doubt about it.
Okay, I mean, that right there would explain a lot as to why what you just said is, such as it seemed like being gay, you can get more opportunities today. I guess the media has a lot to do with that, as I just said. But also, what I would fall back on in terms of, what I was going to say earlier was that I think that, first off, the statement is, ludicrous, ridiculous, all those things. And then again, because it is a statement and then worded by words, it causes confusion. Because basically some people pick up on that phrase as if it really means something, but it don't really mean anything. But then again, I think we're getting off the subject, because I was going to even go into something else, another word. But then again, no. Let's go back to what got us here in the first place, and that was what you had brought up about did you say differences, or what was your phrase about between black men and black women?
Well, but think about it, it's literally, and I'm only pointing from my point of view being down in Florida, it's basically literally like a civil war between the women and the men. And it's basically using the feminist, and feminism has trickled so well into the black women community that they are more aggressive, they are more eager to belittle, more disrespectful and hateful towards their own men. And the thing about it is, it's come to a level where I'm using that, and the reason I brought this up was, you're seeing men killing their girlfriends and their wives and their children now on a higher level and more than ever in the black community.
But
you know, why is go ahead?
But question, you don't think that the how can I put it the observable prevalence of this may be because of more exposure, and then too because of the internet. Because I recall coming up, well, I will say that was being done then, but nowadays because of the internet, we have more access to this kind of information and or this kind of news. But I wouldn't say that is just today. I would say that this
has been
going on,
but it wasn't as prevalent in our community as it was in others. It may have been going on, and you may have had isolated incidents. I'm going to put it old school, because we 40, 50, 30-year-old men here.
Yep.
You remember that time that at one point when you hear something, well, a woman is missing and found dead, the first thing you scream out your mouth was, oh, that's white people right there.
No,
you can't do that no more.
Come
on,
let's be real, because
some crimes like that were not really prevalent in our community.
Yeah.
We're not in that game. We're not usually prevalent in that game. Nowadays, you can't, because I'll use another example. When he had the DC sniper, I knew for a fact that was a white dude. I knew that for a fact, because it was unheard of us doing things like that.
Well, that's
true.
That was one of the, well, what's the word for that? That was a an anomaly, or I can't think of a better word than that, but like that was, we can say for lack of a better word or term, a freak of nature.
A freak of nature, but you think about it.
A freak of nature in the sense that, true, previously it had been white men who did do stuff like that, and rarely had it been a black man who would do stuff such as that. However, on this occasion, it happened to have been two blacks who were doing it. But I would say that, no. A better phrase is that, you know, that was an exception. I had used the term first, a freak of nature, but more so that was an exception. But like the rule,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I was going to say, but then more so than not, the rule still is that like that's more so something that whites do than blacks do at the moment. But who knows? That could change.
But here's the thing that I was using that as a reference to. As of now, within black community, a lot of men are killing their women. That, like you said, that is an exception. It's more prevalent now, and men are more doing it in our community. I'm 40 years old, that I've ever heard before. Now, why is that? It's acceptable to kill something that was never done before. That's why I say that was the... Go ahead.
Well, okay, but right now we're going to have to take a music break before we go into further thoughts on this. And our first music break will be coming with the song from Carla Page entitled Supernova. Carla Page, Supernova.
Shine bright, but I know you're misty.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indie Morell Dollhouse Radio. You just heard Carla Page in her song entitled Supernova. Now, going back to the issue at hand, you know, well, I've heard what you said, and then again, it seems to me that you're liking this situation to the feminist movement. I don't really, I can follow where you're going with that there, but I would disagree with that. Primarily because, let me back up and say it this way. Okay, coming up in, I didn't come up in the 60s. I was born in the 50s, and I was a child during all that protestation going on then and there. But through reading books, I read about black women who were a large part of the movement then. There were many black women who were in the movement and were in leadership positions in the movement. I guess we can say, as I've heard, I haven't seen it as of yet, but as I've heard, the movie Selma does, in fact, portray in depthly. But in having said that, okay, the women were there, and they were there together, as is said, with the men, black men. But then it is also said, historically speaking, in books, it's also said that there came a point wherein the feminist movement, well, the feminist movement in the sense of the white feminist movement, because at that point in time there really wasn't, I guess, as it said, say, black feminism. It was more so white women who were doing the feminist thing. And I guess some say that they began to see black women, you know, really, well, imagine that. We can say, for lack of a better word or term, we can say we the enemy's woman, or how can I put it? Yes, the woman of the enemy. Am I saying that right? Anyway,
that's all right.
White women, who are just as racist as white men,
no doubt.
They mm-hmm. they would see black women in these groups and organizations, and in leadership positions, but however, not at the top leadership position. And it said that at that point in time, those white women began to get the ear of those black women and, you know, plant seeds about, you know, why do you all feel that you have to take a back seat in these movements? Why are men just out front speaking? You're just as much as they are. And it said that, you know, some black women began to listen to that. And it's obvious today that more black women today listen to that than those of yesterday.
Yeah, brainwashed.
Mm-hmm. But still. Say
it again, James. Say it again. Say it out loud.
Part?
Yankee, say that.
Brainwashed.
Not you.
Oh, okay.
Yankee can say it.
I'm James, second version. Brainwashed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yankee, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Yankee. Just call me Yankee.
So, okay, you're saying that like they were brainwashed. So, all right, James, go ahead.
Yeah, but basically because of as time has went on and people pump stuff out there in the media, you know, about what you should do, how you should act, how you should feel, and then on top of that, most of their own men are treating them like garbage, and then on top of that, what they read in the magazines are how you should look, how you should dress, and this, that, and the third, and Oprah putting her two cents in every now and then, the little things, that basically changed everything as far as how it was, you know, 40, 50 years ago. So that's basically what has happened. And I should say it's not only just women. I think everybody, most people out there in general mm-hmm. is like that. We live in a world where it's more sheep than wolves. You know, we're one of the rare people that are the wolves. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's a matter of opening their eyes like we are. We've been had our eyes open for many years and see what the propaganda they're pushing out there. Because let's be honest, it's just like what you were talking about earlier. You know, they wanted, ever since slavery ended, they wanted a way to separate all of us, to have us beneath them for the longest time. You see it in the communities, how it's segregated. You see different ways how they do it nowadays. It's even harder now to even try to get to the next level. Now, I'm not saying it's like that like everywhere, but mostly everywhere, especially in this country, is just that it's now it's more sophisticated. It's more, you know, it's more in between the lines. It wasn't, see, back in the day, it was more blatant. It was right in your face. And now it is still in your face, but then there's other things going on that you have to really read between the lines. It's just like we talked about last week. I think you said it, James, yourself, when Malcolm X was saying how, you know, the KKK turning their sheets for police uniforms, but now it's even more than that. It's doctors, it's lawyers, it's politicians.
Senators.
It's senators, and they are the ones in power. We are not in power. Therefore, that is why we're at war with each other, because we're trying to get out of the hellhole, but they have us pinned against each other because there's nobody, there's very few of us in that power like they are. So that is why we're still stuck. And until we get out of that, you know, which will take a lot of time and a lot of effort, the cycle will still keep going. The wheel of segregation and ignorance will keep going, unfortunately. And so it's up to us to stop it and have our future kids, our seeds, stop that and change that. Because until then, it's never going to change. It's just going to get more sophisticated and even worse, and God knows where it will lead us. You know, 20 years, 30 years from now. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I hear what you're saying there, but there's always, how can I put it, things change. That's what I'll say, and it may not be, well, it could be, it could take 30 years, but it could be sooner than that. The change.
So.
The change that, that should come about.
Yeah, we want it sooner than later.
The thing about it is, I agree with Yankee, but in the aspect of they became more sophisticated, it's not even sophistication. I was talking to my dad. My dad said they basically David Copperfield us. They give us an illusion of where we
there you go.
We're at. And in actuality, we're nowhere near that. You know, and so the thing about it is it's just a mindset. And going back to what you were saying earlier, James, the feminist movement where the Caucasian women or the white women were bending the ear of the one, that movement wasn't even designed for black women, period. It was because white women wanted the right to vote that kind of leaked up into us.
Well,
it kind of linked over into us, literally.
Well, historically speaking, yes. Well, that goes back to as far back as the 1800s when women first began to clamor for the right to vote, which also sprang forth, well, like their mindset came out of the abolitionist movement. Because they were agitating for rights and rights of black men and or slaves, and then again they realized that they themselves didn't have rights. So therefore, yes, they began to agitate way back then. But the main thing to keep in mind is that even though white women were in fact agitating way back then, black women were still slaves. And like and then again, as we know, by law they had no rights. So therefore, I mean, they were even further down then. So therefore, at that point in time, one can say that it was asinine for the white woman to get the ear of the black slave woman. It wouldn't make any sense. But however, coming forward, let us say to the 1960s, when again black people were in protest mode.
Right.
And then, you know, we're not slaves anymore now. And then again, you know, we have all these rights now. And then, you know, the white women feminists or women libbers, that's when they began to see, well, as you all are talking about, you know, the movement was, stratified or, you know, the movement began to be infiltrated by.
Because
the white woman was in the black movement too, but maybe it's kind of wrong to say exactly infiltrated because there were white women who and white men as well who were just as dedicated toward, you know, getting out. Well, how can I put it? There were white men and white women who were just as dedicated as other black men and women were in ending that system of segregation and also getting black people the right to vote. So perhaps it wasn't so much as an actual infiltration, but then again, also, there were those who did, in fact, infiltrate the movement, too. That is, those that came there with ulterior motives of their own, other than just, you know, ending segregation and or and or getting black people to the polls to vote. And then again, those were the women liberationists who, in a real sense, sought to separate the black woman from the black man in terms of separating and also diluting the black movement. We could say
exactly.
It like that. But then again, you know, that was then, let's say the 60s, but then again, go on up through the 70s, and then again, go on into the 80s, and then again, we can't leave out, you know, the crack epidemic concerning this stratification of the black community, especially in terms of women and men, black men and women. And then again, also,
You can't leave out Planned Parenthood. You can't.
All right, let me you say you can't leave out Planned Parenthood?
Oh, yes. Planned Parenthood used to be called eugenics. We all know about that, correct? And basically, eugenics were designed to separate or to demean or to lessen the black people as a whole. Once slavery was abolished, eugenics, pain and honor, only goal was to destroy black communities, period. That was their only job. They couldn't do it for almost hundreds of years until they changed their name from eugenics to Planned Parenthood.
Hold on. You're right, but correction, Planned Parenthood was not called eugenics. Planned Parenthood practiced eugenics. Eugenics is
okay, I'm sorry.
Science.
I'm sorry.
It's not.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to, just for that edification, that Planned Parenthood did not have a monopoly
though,
on
question
you.
Question though,
did.
Even in terms of the phrase Planned Parenthood, so then
mm-hmm.
you're saying, Russell, that like this Planned Parenthood was primarily geared toward black women and not white women, or what? What are you saying there?
Yeah.
Oh no, I was just clarifying that
he clarified what I said. I made a mistake there. He was correcting me. I'm saying that. I'm saying Planned Parenthood was designed for
Planned Parenthood. Was the purpose of Planned Parenthood was though in fact for the practice of eugenics.
Well, I heard that part, but that's not my question.
Population control. Was,
okay, but
okay,
like,
what was the question?
My question is, that was just all right. The whole concept of Planned Parenthood. Are you all both saying that like that was just geared toward black women, or was it geared toward American women? You know, including white women and black women here in this country, or exclusively black women?
No,
it was
exclusively for non-white women.
Women,
you know,
exactly.
And then, you know, for when white women get caught up in certain things, or we say white people in general, whether you're talking about abortion, or whether you're talking about the war on drugs, let's see.
But these are all different issues.
Anything, as Dr. Neely Fuller says, that's just the cost of doing business.
So what you're saying is that all these negative programs had been designed for blacks, but at the same time, you know, there is some
white casualty.
Yes. And the thing about it is, and it was designed not just for black women, but for non-Caucasian. That means Hispanics as well. And it was basically designed for population control.
That's why I said non-white women. There was no such thing
women.
As even a Hispanic person until 1970.
Exactly. So it was anything that was non-white was designed, these programs, because if you think about it, and Russell can back me up on this, if you find any, name me one white neighborhood where you'll find a Planned Parenthood in. One.
Well, you know, that's kind of a disingenuous question, because as we know,
goodness.
Well, I listen as to why I say
well,
that.
Well, I don't even really get into the, in terms of the location. Shall we say a little
Shallow.
You can argue that that's a circumstantial, but if you actually study, or better yet, you know what I'm saying, for the listeners, if you read chapter 4 of my book, Bible Thumping and the Religious is Right, I talk about the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger.
Yes.
And the things that she wrote and the things that she expressed regarding the purpose of Planned Parenthood. Sanger was also a member of the American Eugenics Society and the American Birth Control League. I mean, but yeah, if you really study eugenics and phrenology and scientific racism, then you will get the full scope of things. Even before that time, you know, Planned Parenthood was around the 1920s. If you're going back until slavery, with things like the Drapetomania, where it was a scientific idea, it was pseudoscience, but Drapetomania was basically a diagnosis that was given to slaves when they were rebellious or tried to run away or things of that nature. Like an enslaved African that did not enjoy their servitude, they said suffered from drapetomania.
But I'm going to cut in there and then say this. But you know, that goes back to what I said earlier about words that don't mean nothing. Dreptomania.
Russell, let me
finish. As I was saying, the word itself don't mean nothing. The word itself, it can't be said, was brought about by a quack. It didn't mean nothing. No. There was no such thing as dreptomania. But okay. I think we're gonna have another music break right now. So I'm gonna even hold the thought that I tried to get in earlier. Okay, so we're gonna have a song now. All right, we're gonna have a song now from Myla J featuring B.O.B. and the song is called Champion. So this is Myla J featuring B.O.B. and the song is called Champion. We'll be right back.
Let's get it, fellas.
Yeah.
One minute you the best, okay. The next you my ex. I swear you try me on purpose. I swear we need a ref,
okay.
But baby I am a champion. Lay back out, ease all the stress. I hit it from the right, hit it from the left. Lick it from the right, lick it from the left.
I want myself
first.
This nigga acting
crazy.
Bare boom like a boxing ring. At each other's necks all day. Knocking all day.
Shit.
Trying to get you to stay.
Stay.
Kissing all up on my face. Keep trying to call me babe. It's war with the roses. I hate you. I love you. I fight you. Then fuck you. Sometimes I can feel like you really my nigga. But then I'm like, fuck you. The way that we kissing, the way that you fight it. Remind me of Tyson. I'm heated. But I need it.
We up in here like. We up in here like
the roses. I hate you, I love you, I fight you, then fuck you. Sometimes I can feel like you really my nigga, but then I'm like, fuck you. The way that we kissing, the way that you fight it, remind me of Tyson. Yeah, I'm heated, but I need it.
We up in here like. We up in here like.
Beat up like rock.
Young Bob like Rocky Balboa. I knock it out for the first round over. I'm a smoker, I'm a starter, I'm a stroker. I got a belt, I got the title, I'm a holder. Got what you want, got what you need. I got the size, I got the speed. She hit the bell, I hit the ring. She throw it back, I bob and weave. I bob and weave. Now she rocking on top of me. Baby, please don't stop for me. No tapping out, no time for sleep. You know what I mean, you know what I bring. I'm a super yo, you know what I swing. When I hit it from the right, hit it from the left. Scream it in my ear, she don't leave me there.
So LA with it, I'm just so LA.
LA
with it. Wake you up so I can put it in your face.
Damn.
Get it up, baby. I just wanna play with it.
Bring it, bring
let
it.
Let me play
bang,
with
bring
it.
Bring it, bring it.
We
bang.
Up in here like. We up in here like.
To hear on Dollhouse, Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. Uh-oh, we're hearing that echo again.
Oh,
so
no.
What are we going to do?
All right, let's see here. Let me do this. Let me.
Can y'all hear me?
Well,
yeah,
we hear us.
It was the echo, though.
But that echo was there.
You know what you might have to do? You might have to, like, call back on a regular number. Like, we'll all call back on a regular number. And,
okay,
what I'm gonna do is I'll play a song real quickie, and we'll get this done. Hold on 1 second here. And
okay, good. So we're gonna go on and do that then. We'll be right back, folks.
Yes.
Come on, ready, man. Turn me up some headphones. Kells and Lou. Floss. We be West Coast and pockets on fold.
Okay, are we back?
I don't hear the echo.
Okay, good. So we cleared that up. So, again, welcome back to Urban Society here on Dollhouse Radio. And let me give out our caller number, which we haven't done in a little while tonight. But anyway, the caller number is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's 646-595-4038. Call in and let us hear from you. So, still on this topic here, and what I wanted lastly we left off on the thing about dreptomania, as I was saying, that was a contrived, made up word by a QACK, a quack, and also a racist individual, slave owner as well. Well, I'm not sure if that guy Cartwright was a slave owner or not, but then again, he was definitely a racist, neither here nor there, and an idiot. But anyway, having said that, I want to go further in to say, as I was going to respond to Cobra's first statement, what he was saying about Planned Parenthood, and then he mentioned, you know, where would you find those in white neighborhoods, and I had said earlier that I think that was a disingenuous, how can I put it, not necessarily analogy, but it was disingenuous to ask that question, because in a real sense, I was trying to say or going to say, you know, really, blacks don't really frequent white neighborhoods, right or wrong. So therefore, how would we know? But having said that, we have heard of these doctors or abortion clinics being bombed and doctors being killed. They weren't bombed or killed in black neighborhoods. So therefore, Planned Parenthood. But okay, but am I wrong in saying what I'm saying, or would that be?
But these were abortion clinics. These was abortion clinics. This wasn't Planned Parenthood.
You said
the abortion clinic. This wasn't Planned Parenthood. These was just a regular abortion clinics.
But
you see, let me finish.
But okay,
you see
one,
and you see also they were being bombed because they're killing Caucasian babies.
That's
another
good
point.
You
see what I'm saying?
Like that's a nuanced thing within this issue, though.
Right.
But again, abortion clinics, I mean, they want to call it abortion clinics, but then again, these clinics, I'm quite sure they weren't named abortion clinics. I'm quite sure they weren't named that. People decided to call them that because that is what was taking place in those settings, clinics, whatever you want to call them. That's what was taking place, but they just said no abortion clinics, baby killers. But, you know, that's dramatic. But
okay.
All I'm saying there is that, you know, I think it was disingenuous to ask that question as to if we'd ever seen. Okay, go ahead.
I accept that that's being disingenuous, but the thing was basically the Planned Parenthood was designed to pretty much advertise genocide within non-white communities.
Okay, basically. I can.
I suggest people watch the film Mayafa 21.
Thank you. There you go.
But okay,
exactly.
What I also want to say about the thing about eugenics. Okay, that has been or is a debunked science, a discarded science. Although it may be happening, but my question is, in essence, that is a discarded science. Is it or is it not?
I don't understand your question.
I mean, like, found to be false. That you
okay.
can't.
I don't understand what you're saying. It's found to be false when
false.
There have been medical experiments.
I'm not doubting that.
Primarily against people of color.
I'm not doubting that.
They're studying experiment. That's why I don't understand.
Okay.
Evidently, what do you mean by debunked?
All right. Debunked, discarded, proved to be in error. That somehow.
Okay. But is it? You saying it's defunct? Are you saying it's no longer in practice?
Exactly.
No.
That's incorrect.
In practice, as a quasi-governmental policy, what I'm saying is that, you know, supposedly they were saying, you know, like they can, you know, selectively breed, you know, humans in a real sense to be superior, more superior than what they are not.
Genetic engineering is happening right now.
But genetic engineering, there's a whole
science called transhumanism. That's why I'm just trying to follow when you say it's debunked. Hillary Clinton, before she resigned as Secretary of State on behalf of the United States government, made an apology to the people of Guatemala for all of the medical experiments and things that the government in Guatemala.
Okay.
This was 2009, I want
to
say.
So being that she made the apology, that means what?
I don't understand what you mean by being drunk.
Okay, in essence, what I mean, I repeat myself in saying what I said. What I mean by debunk is that has been proven a false science, a false scientific theory. And then again, going into what you just said about Guatemala, due to the fact that, okay, Hillary Clinton, as you're saying, apologized to the people of that area, that would indicate then that what? That they have ceased to do this. Would it not?
No.
So
no, 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 no,
no, isn't,
no. I mean, can I say something?
It baffles me for a black man with the years that you have on this planet.
Preach.
To think that the United States government in all of a sudden has these epiphanies of benevolence that, what transpired, what has always transpired most of the time is, we're going to apologize for this thing in particular because it has been made public, because we have been caught with our hands in the motherfucking cookie jar.
There you go.
That it has a negative effect. Not that it has a negative effect. Beneficial results. None of that.
There was a negative effect.
People in that part of the region, saying had all of these inexplicable deformities and things like that. So, and this is, like I said, this is coming off of, you say it's no longer happening. No, this was recent. No.
Well, listen,
after Tuskegee, after prison, all of this, after the experiments that people used to do on prisoners, like when Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas. So I'm just trying to find it hard to follow. It's just like what you said earlier about that's pseudoscience, what people think or whatever, blah blah blah. When law by definition is man made. You have natural law, like gravity and shit like that, but when you talk about the everyday activity of men, what people can and can't do and under what conditions and this, that, and the other, that's man-made shit about what someone thinks and feels and believes. And it is codified into a code of conduct that ideally that a community agrees upon in terms of a standard of behavior. I mean, you say, like, the last show, you was talking about, that's somebody's opinion. When you go to the Supreme Court, what's the ruling of the Supreme Court called?
It's their opinion.
The opinion.
So was I wrong or was I right? So was I wrong?
It is. Let me.
Well, listen.
No,
listen. In your mind then, in me saying that it is someone's opinion in terms of what we're talking about, was I wrong or was I right? Because let me listen to your answer.
No, you were wrong in the sense that when you said that someone's opinion doesn't matter. And the fact of the matter is that's why I use the Supreme Court because all of the laws, are opinions.
That is what I do know. And then again, if I did say that a person's opinions don't matter, I should have extended that to also say that opinions matter and they don't matter, or opinions matter at one point in time, then again, that same opinion may not matter at all at another point in time. Right or wrong?
Well, since 1555,
since 1555, black
question,
people
Russell,
have been subjected to.
Russell, you didn't answer any. You didn't answer neither of those questions.
What's the question?
Concerning opinions. If I'm right in saying that, you know, those are just opinions, even those of Supreme Court opinions, and also subjective. They are subjective.
Their opinion matters.
No, you saying that opinion, you know, that is just opinion that is superfluous. What I was saying is that opinion matters when opinion can't be codified into a code, into a standard of practice.
That same law can be repealed, Russell. That same law can be repealed, yes or no, right or wrong.
Right, and you're absolutely right.
In a utopian system, yeah. But we have proof of that. You say, yeah, things can be appealed. I mean, repealed. But I don't know what social studies book that folks have been reading where the whims of the people, you know what I'm saying, the spirit of the people is what transpires in the country. The fact of the matter is we wouldn't be having a lot of the things that we have now if you're talking about the opinion that, for example, during Jim Crow, you know what I'm saying, that black people couldn't testify against a white person, and a black person couldn't be on the jury. I mean, I'm sure there's a whole lot of black people whose opinion was, hey, I don't think that's right. And because of that, you know what I'm saying, I don't recall reading or seeing on no PBS special where someone said, hey, you know what I'm saying, these black people, they don't like this, so I think we're going to stop. No.
So we're going too far off into that because I can see that
I want to go back when you said it was debunked. It was no longer in practice. That is totally, totally wrong, because if it was no longer in practice, we wouldn't have a Planned Parenthood. They just got better at it.
Yeah. Absolutely correct.
Okay, well, right now, we're going to have to go into a music break, but we're going to come right back. And right now we're going to hear the song from Little Big Town, and the song is Daydreaming. So this is Little Big Town. The song is called Daydreaming.
Urban Society, be right back. It's actually Daydrinking. My typo. Daydrinking.
It was, all right, let me
read
the colors then.
Yeah, my bad.
So it's
go. What you say, we find a little warm sunshine and open umbrella on the patio. Don't need a reason or a happy hour. Ain't hanging around for a fireworks show. Get a head start, a little sip of something. Off and running, here we go.
Don't wanna wait till the sun's sinking. We could be feeling.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Dollhouse Radio. And we made a mistake with the title of that song. The song is from Little Big Town, but it's not called Daydreaming. The song is called Day Drinking. So that was from Little Big Town. The song is called Day Drinking. And we're here on Urban Society at Dollhouse Radio. Our call number is area code 646-595-4038.
That was my mistake.
Well, these things happen. I mean, you know, it's just one of those situations. Yeah. So I'm going back into the issue. We're in disagreement here. Well, we are in disagreement.
Nothing new.
Yeah.
So make the show. Let's get going. Great show tonight.
So okay, I think the disagreement stems from how can I put it?
Let's put it like it is.
Difference in. Basically, perception, I guess, because the way I see it, I think that the philosophy of eugenics, I will say, in terms of what Cobra Commander is saying about Planned Parenthood, I think that that philosophy has been debunked, discarded, to now be known as false. Therefore, yes, false.
Go
so
ahead.
therefore, it is no longer, let's say, a policy of the U.S. government, because I have heard that it was, in fact, at one point a policy of the U.S. government, but that has been stopped. Granted, they now have other means and or methods of, let us say, population control, but however, it's not based upon eugenics. But then again, one can say that it still is based upon eugenics because they're still using some kind of a drug. And one can even, you know, fall back on and then again expand this into saying that the drug itself, crack cocaine, could be still a part of the eugenics program. One could extend it that far. But is it true?
No.
Okay, well, I'm just extending it that far. But I'm not quite sure.
We're talking about something that you like. I'm baffled too. That different perception. You're absolutely right. If you go into Planned Parenthood and they push in none, and I'm saying non-colored individuals for birth control, any form of conception, because the thing about it is they want in the old eugenics, as you said, in the debunked eugenics, they want to populate more Caucasian babies than they're of non-color, because they feel the more of them they are, the more power they conceive. So to control our population, they make Planned Parenthood pushing abortion, birth control, pushing these things that can control it. Like, I give you a perfect example. I just read an article today about the Ethiopians and Israel, that they were giving these women over there birth control shots and telling them it was for other things, to control the population of Ethiopians.
All right, but right now, Cobra Commander, your voice seems to keep fading out.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now.
I'm going to use the example of the Ethiopian youth, that they were using birth control and telling the women it was for, they were telling them it was for something with the climate, that they need to give them certain shots for them to adjust to their climate. In actuality, they were using the same program they use here, but they were falsely telling these women that they were doing it for something else, or telling it was a measles shot, and it was birth control to control the Ethiopian Jewish community.
But I would say to that, to what you just said there, what I would say to that is that over there in Africa, a lot of things are done to them that...
No, that wasn't in Africa. That was in Israel.
Well, Israel is in Africa. Well, that's different.
I know that.
Never mind. That's going elsewhere. But what I'm trying to say here, though, okay, in that area of the world... A lot of things are done in those areas of the world that wouldn't be dreamt of doing here.
But here's the thing that I was pointing out, that you said that a lot of over there they do that. The program that they were imitating was Planned Parenthood here.
All I said was that in this country. In this country, that philosophy has been discarded. I mean,
go ahead.
What I'm saying is, you know, the actual thought mode, which geared up all the programs toward the system. Let us say yes, even the system of eugenics. All those systems, apparatuses have been dismantled. Granted,
oh my Lord.
Listen. They may have come up in another form or fashion, but it's not eugenics.
Okay, then I'll go with you there. It's no longer eugenics. They revamped it. It's the same, as my mama say, it's the same dog running the race with a different name.
But okay, but that's just what it is. We have to call it what it is, and not what it
think about. Okay, but the thing about it is, I'm going to use this as an example. If I came up to you, James, and slapped you and say, it's the happy slap, and tomorrow say, I'm just slapping the hell out of you, it's the same action. But I'm still slapping you.
That's all right. I'll use this phrase that you just said there. That's the same but different. Yes. The same but different. But I won't even say different but the same. No, it's the same but different. But
okay.
So therefore, I don't think it's like
we're just gonna let this one go. We're gonna let it go.
well, because we get bogged down on this and.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. Jump to something new, baby. Go ahead.
Okay. So. We got about 10 minutes left here, y'all. So, what I want to say is that, I wasn't sure how you were going to come at this topic, but then now I do see where we got at it or where we went with it. So moving right along, one issue, but then again, I had other issues to bring up here, but there's quite so many, but then again, we only got 10 minutes left. But one thing I want to bring up, which I had meant to bring up last week, was an issue that I got from the Internet. It was called, it's legal to kill a cop in Indiana, but it's not what you think. And, okay, mm-hmm. and the wording of this article goes like so. It says, Indiana law enforcement officers aren't happy with a new law that lets residents use deadly force against police servants.
Mm-hmm.
That's what most headlines read.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also goes further to say that, okay, the law stems from a state Supreme Court ruling that went too far. The case involved a man who assaulted an officer during a domestic violence call. The court ruled that there was no right to reasonably resist unlawful entry by the police officer. The key words there, no right to resist and unlawful entry.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, we have to again, how can I put it? This goes into assumptions, but then again,
uh-huh.
assumptions come from how can I put it? One's thinking on an issue. Okay, first off, we don't have all the facts here as to why the man assaulted the police officer.
Well, he came into his house unlawfully. That's to go back to the constitutional right to protect your house.
Well, not exactly. Not exactly,
okay.
Because it says here, okay, that the law stems from a state Supreme Court ruling that went too far. The case they were trying involved a man who assaulted an officer during a domestic violence call. The court ruled
mm-hmm.
that there was no right to reasonably resist unlawful entry by the police officer, which kind of like suggests this does suggest that perhaps the police person was in the guy's house. Or,
mm-hmm.
and again, we don't know if the guy was outside his house and then ran inside the house. We don't know that. But at any point, the police officer went inside the man's house. And it says here that the key words there, no right to resist and unlawful entry. And then again, it goes further to say, apparently, the Indiana Supreme Court feels that the law enforcement officer are either exempt from or above the law. The Indiana
yeah.
State legislature took exception to the ruling and sent a clear message. Cops who make unlawful entry into someone's home are not above the law, and citizens can still employ deadly force to protect themselves and their family, even if it's a rogue cop. And then it goes further to say that, why are you saying, okay, exactly?
That's because the thing about it is it goes to the basic constitutional right. You have the right to bear arms. You have the right to protect your property. So if this cop breaks down my door and it has no warrant, and I don't know who, I give you a perfect example. They had one example where a cop came through the window on the guy and he shot him. He didn't identify him as a policeman. Why are you coming through my window? and he shot him. You got a right to protect yourself.
You have a right. See, this is the thing. You do have a right to protect yourself from this, that, and the other. But the Supreme Court ruled in December, and Hine versus the state of North Carolina.
Carolina.
That the police are permitted to violate the Fourth Amendment if the violation rights result from a reasonable mistake about the law. So basically, you know, like, basically to say it in plain English, cops are exempt of cops being ignorant of the law is permissible if they think that they are acting in a lawful manner.
Justified way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But okay, in saying that,
which is absolutely crazy.
But as well, I would agree with that because
as
we know that goes back into the situation of opinions. And then again, as we know, opinions are very much subjective. Very much subjective.
Hey.
That's not an opinion. If I break down your door and say, you know what, I didn't know I can't break down your door and shoot you, they're going to be like, oh, that's so bad.
This is the thing you say, you know, opinions are subjective, but in the power structure.
This is no.
And it's enough because opinion at the end of the day means what? Because I said so. I mean, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like when your mama and your daddy, you know what I'm saying? Because I said so, and it's like, hey, shit, because their opinion is the only opinion that matters. You know what I'm saying?
It's law.
I don't understand how black people don't understand this. You know what I mean? Because black people ain't realized since 1555 that a whole motherfucking white power structure said fuck your opinion.
Exactly.
Fuck your opinion about even what you think about yourself.
Exactly. It's do what I say, not what
you know
I do.
What I'm saying? The fact that black people had to walk around with a sign talking about I am a man, I am a human being. You don't see that? Come on, like what the hell?
That's that. But then again, here is something else too. And but then again, I guess this is in another state. Because the thing I just read there was about Indiana, but here it says Supreme Court rules cops do not need warrant to search your home.
Yep.
And it says,
yeah, that's
the
Patriot Act stuff right there.
That's Patriot Act. That's that Patriot Act shit right there. That's that Patriot Act. They can come in and be like, hey.
Understand that you do have a right to treat the police as would any other private citizen when they
break the law.
Are not operating in a lawful manner when they have absconded their position. There's Runyon versus Indiana that says.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm reading this from my book, page 280. When a person being without fault is in a place where he has a right to be, is violently assaulted, he may, without retreating, repel by force, and if the reasonable exercise of his right of self-defense, his assailant is killed, he is justified. These principles apply as well to an officer attempting to make an arrest who abuses his authority and transcends the bounds thereof by the use of unnecessary force and violence, as they do to private individual who unlawfully uses such force and violence. That was Jones versus the state of Texas, Brevard versus the state of Texas, is the state of Georgia versus Robinson. An illegal arrest is an assault and battery. The person so attempted to be restrained of his liberty has the right to use force in defending himself as he would in repelling any other assault and battery. North Carolina versus Mobley. Each person has the right to resist an unlawful arrest. In such a case, the person attempting the arrest stands in the position of a wrongdoer and he may be resisted by the use of force as self-defense. And also for those innocent, for those bystanders, like in the case of Eric Garner, this is the state of Georgia versus Adams. One may come to the aid of any of another being unlawfully arrested. Just as they were, one is being assaulted, molested, raped, or kidnapped. Thus, it is not an offense to liberate from the unlawful custody of an officer, even though he may have submitted to such custody without resistance.
Okay, all right, I heard all that, but then again, here's something else as well. We've got about 2 minutes left here. And right now in New York, it is being said that a petition is being circulated that a petition denounced NYPD's push to make resisting arrest a felony offense. This comes from change.org. It says making nonviolent resisting arrest charges a felony, as both Bratton and NYPD union heads have recently suggested, would be a gross overreaction by lawmakers that's ripe for abuse. So in reference to all these laws, we have a new law that wants to be put on the books concerning making resisting arrest a felony. But then again, there's a lot to be said about that as well. But however, we got like 1 minute left, so I guess we're going to go on and sign off. But like before we do, I want to put this out here for Portchester people who may be in Portchester and may be listening. This right here is a invitation to a function happening on the Friday, February 20th. This says as part of the annual Black History Month celebration, Gertman Memorial Church of the Living God presents a Know Your Rights program. Information will be provided to educate the community of our rights and how to deal with the police. This event is beneficial to children, teens, and adults. So that's in Portchester, Friday, at Reverend Gertzman's Church, the Memorial Church of the Living God, Friday, February 20th, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So with that said, we want to go on and sign off, the rest of you guys, so go ahead.
I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Tune in next week. That's it.
What'd you guys say, Cobra?
Well, I'm going to say, hey, man, I enjoyed this show. This was very, very interesting. I love how it organically went everywhere.
Yeah.
And follow me on Hooligan Nation on Twitter, man. What you got to say, Yankee?
Well, what I got to say is follow me on Twitter at YankeeMan1973. I love the realness. I love the flow we have tonight. We will continue this next week on Urban Society here on Dolls Radio, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here exclusively. Can't wait.
Urban Society signing off. Good night, people.
Yes, ladies.
Good night.
Ladies. Yes.
As it seems, the American dream ain't nothing but another calculated scheme to get us locked up, shut up and back insane, to deny us of the future, rob our names, kept my history a mystery, but now I see, the American dream wasn't meant for me, cause Lady Liberty's a hypocrite, she lied to me, while it's for freedom, education, equality, never gave me nothing but slavery, and now look at how dangerous it made me, calling me a madman, cause I'm strong and bold, with this gun full of knowledge of the lies you told, promise me emancipation, and this new name. All you ever gave my people was starvation. Fathers of this country never cared for me. They kept my ancestors shackled up in slavery. And Uncle Sam never did a damn thing for me. Set live by the facts in my history. So now I'm sitting here mad cause I'm unemployed. But the government's glad cause they enjoy when my people are down. So they can screw us around. Time to change the government now. Panther power. Panther power. Power. never, never let me forget my history, hoping I was set free. Things that were put on me, wanted to be more than just free. Had to know the true facts about my history. I couldn't settle for being a statistic. Couldn't survive in this capitalistic government, cause it was meant to hold us back. Using ignorance, drugs, the sneak attack in my community. They killed the unity, but when I charge them, try to claim immunity. I strike America like a case of heart disease. Panther power is running through my arteries. Try to stop me, oh boy, you'll be clawed to death, cause I'll be fighting for my freedom with my dying breath. Do you remember? That's what I'm asking you. You think you're living free? Don't make me laugh at you. Open your eyes, realize you've been locked in chains. Said you wasn't civilized and stole your name. Cause the time has passed, seem to all forget. There is no liberty for you and me, we ain't free yet. Panther power. Panther power. Panther power. Panther power. As real as it seems, the American dream ain't nothing but another calculated scheme to get us locked up, shut up and back and chained. To deny us of the future, rob our name. Kept my history a mystery, but now I see the American dream wasn't meant for me. Cause Lady Liberty's a hypocrite, she lied to me. Promised for freedom, education, equality. Never gave me nothing but slavery. And now look at how dangerous it made me. Calling me a madman, cause I'm strong and bold. With this gunful of knowledge of the lies he told. Promised me emancipation and this new nation. All you ever gave my people was salvation. Fathers of this country never cared for me. They kept my ancestors shackled up in slavery. And Uncle Sam never did a damn thing for me. Step live by the facts in my history. So now I'm sitting here mad cause I'm unemployed. But the government's glad cause they enjoy when my people are down, so they can screw us around. Time to change the government now. Panther power.